Our goal as believers should be spiritual growth. And Pastor Ray Bentley says that process often reveals some surprising things.
Growing spiritually is a greater revelation of just how big a sinner that I really am. And God's grace is deeper than I had imagined. His mercy is far wider than I could have ever dreamed. And as I begin to experience that, now I have a greater capacity to share that same love, grace, forgiveness toward others.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. British author Hannah Moore said, "A Christian will find it cheaper to pardon than to resent. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, the waste of spirits." Today, Pastor Ray shows us how to forgive as Christ forgave. It's all part of becoming more Christ-like.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and the title of the message is Walking with God. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14, and we've come to the practical side of this letter that Paul wrote to Ephesus and that the Holy Spirit is writing to the church. And what does it mean to walk with God? Paul says basically two things. To walk with God means to walk in love. We'll talk about what that means. And secondly, it means to walk in the light as opposed to the darkness. And we'll talk about what that means. All right, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So he says, therefore, be imitators of God. Now, therefore, what is therefore there for? What has he just said? What has he just been talking about? So we need to back up just a skosh. And to chapter 4, verse 32, where it says, that's the last verse of the previous chapter. Paul has just said, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So, Paul's topic here is God's forgiveness as an example of how we are to be. We need to learn how to be forgiving. We are to be imitators of God. I don't know if you've noticed that children have this bad habit of imitating their parents. I wish they didn't do that. And it never seems like they imitate the good things. But they so quickly can imitate the bad things. And now yesterday, we got this brilliant idea that we would go to the North County Fair and have lunch at Red Robin. With my daughter Annie and her husband Sean, my grandkids Noah and Bentley, along with 20,000 other people. So there were millions of people coming in and out, and then we had to wait a long time. Now 2 and 3 year olds are not good at waiting for anything, and so you know there were a lot of people there and some other friends and. And so we were, you know, the adults are all talking. Well, this is the perfect environment for Noah and Bentley to escape into oblivion. And they were constantly running away. And so Annie was correcting, Noah and saying, "No, Noah, you can't do that. You must stay, Noah." And she would grab him and she would look him in the eyes, "Noah." And he would look at her like this, you know, furrow his eyebrows. And so he'd say, "Okay, Mom." And so then she'd start talking, and I would watch little Noah, and he would wait until his mom was deep in conversation, and then, boom, he was gone just like that, like a shot, out and amongst the hundreds of people that are cruising around the mall. And then he's like, "Where's Noah?" You know, and I said, "I don't know. I was enjoying it so much. I know I shouldn't, but, oh, how I enjoyed that." And so, you know, the disobeying and the idea of forgiveness, but for Annie and wanting to teach, it was something that, you know, she had to keep correcting and keep teaching and so forth and so on, but there was no problem in her ability to forgive Noah, as frustrated as she got, because it came from a heart of love. And that's what Paul is saying, that as Christians, you know, being a Christian is, well, let's say what it is not. It's not being a religious person as opposed to a non-religious person. Being religious doesn't really mean anything, at least especially to God. It doesn't mean that now I follow a system of rules and morality and so forth. It's a relationship of walking with God and walking the way our Father walks. We want to grow up to become like Him, and it just so happens, fortunately for us, that our Heavenly Father is extremely, deeply, contagiously forgiving. He is very soft-hearted. You might say that He is just looking for the slightest hint of a repentance so that He might lavish us with His grace and mercy and forgiveness and draw us near unto Himself, because He's motivated by love. And whatever areas of correction or guidance or, again, I think of the love of a mother with her little children, whatever exuberance there is in trying to teach is for our benefit. It's for our protection. It's not some arbitrary, I want to make your life miserable. On the contrary, He wants our life to be the most happy, the most fulfilled, and the most blessed that it could possibly be. So our example is the love and the grace and the mercy that God has given to us. Now, one thing that I have found to be very true is that the Bible gives to us, as this is God, this is like God's love letter. It's the revelation of His heart. Of here's how to walk in a way that will be healthy for you. Here's how we can walk together, and I am love and grace and mercy and goodness, and I have all power, and I've got a purpose, I've got a plan for you. I am eternally rich, and I want to share with you my kingdom. So in order to inherit all of that, I want you to walk with me and walk this way and be like me. So the Word of God is what leads us and what guides us, and it gives to us a very healthy perspective. It gives to us the basis, the foundation for both mental health as well as emotional health. Now, I know that there are many in this church that have a background in medicine and are part of the medical field. And we have now discovered what was already found long ago in God's Word. And that is that to walk in forgiveness, to have a heart that is a forgiving heart and not holding on to bitterness is healthy. It's a healthy way to live. And probably some of you would understand it better than I do, that there is something about when you carry bitterness and animosity and it doubles you up and knots up your stomach, it doesn't just affect you emotionally, but it literally changes you physiologically. Somehow, chemically, there are things going on in the brain. Again, I don't understand. But then it affects you physically. Your immune system goes down. You're vulnerable to other illnesses, diseases, and so forth. It's just, frankly, and honestly, and now provenly, an unhealthy way to live. And if you are holding on to animosity or bitterness toward another person, it will damage you more than it damages the other person. It doesn't hurt them nearly as much as it's going to hurt you. And it can eat you up. Now, on the other hand, if you are forgiving and if you let that go, that also has a positive effect upon you chemically in the brain, physiologically within your body, and emotionally and mentally. It literally is the path to health. Even when Jesus was giving to His disciples the model prayer, you remember how the disciples came and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And He said, "Okay, pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He linked our forgiveness immediately side by side with the expression, forgive us as we forgive others. They are linked. And then when he gets to the end of the Lord's Prayer, which is in the Sermon on the Mount, the only comment that he makes about any of the petitions is on forgiveness. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Jesus taught so much on forgiveness that finally Peter wanted to get some affirmation from the Lord, and he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? And this is the idea is of the same offense. And he said, shall I forgive him 7 times? And seven, it seems like a big number to Peter, but it's not really a big number, because the Pharisees actually taught that if you forgave 3 or 4 times, that was enough. If you forgive 3 times, 4 times the same offense, you don't have to do it anymore. So Peter thinks that he's going to double that amount. He goes, 7 times, Lord. I'm willing to forgive 7 times. How am I doing? He did it to me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ha-ha! I forgave him 7 times. Of course, in Peter's mind, on the 8th time, boom, I get to go back after him. But then Jesus' response was, no, not 7 times. But what did Jesus say? 70 times 7, or 7 times 70. What was Jesus saying in that? He was saying this, and if you're writing anything down, write down this little thought. Forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics. It's not a matter of mathematics. When a mother who loves her children and the children are being bad, there's not a point, where is the end of a mother's love? There's not a point at which she's like counting and then, all right, you know, if you do it again, I will never love you again. No. Moms are, man, they just have this bottomless ocean of love and forgiveness. And it seems like God's just planted it so deeply within their hearts. And it's a picture of the grace of God and of the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And the reason that they don't really count, though they may get exasperated, they may get frustrated and all the rest, they don't count because of love. In other words, I will forgive my son and I will forgive my daughter, as crazy as they may be and as many mistakes as they may make, as long as it takes. I will always love them. I will always pray for them. I will always want them, of course, to not make mistakes and to not hurt themselves or others. But I'm not counting. And that's what Jesus is saying. As you walk like your Father, you come to a place where, yes, you have been wrong. Yes, you have a right to be angry. Yes, you have a right to be upset over the situation. But do you want to keep beating yourself up over and over by this, or do you want to be healed and say, you know what? I forgive them. I forgive them. Now, when Jesus gives this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about forgiveness, and then he gets to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you know what he says? Now, I don't know if you've noticed this in reading it. Read Matthew 5 through 7. It's probably about the only complete sermon that we have of Jesus. He gets to the end of the sermon and he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, so the ideal is to forgive always and forever and never counting and be forgiving, as long as it takes. Okay, that's the ideal, that's the goal, that's what my Father's like, that's someday what I will be. Okay? And then there's reality, this down here. And the reality is that we struggle sometimes with forgiveness. How many of you can honestly say that sometimes, maybe just a little bit, that you've struggled on occasion with the capacity to forgive? Can you be honest? Yes. And then the Lord is saying to forgive. How do I do that? I don't want to forgive them. Why? Because it hurts. And because they're a knucklehead and they don't deserve forgiveness. And I don't feel like forgiving them. And it's because of your own hurt and your own wound within your heart. So, but it's hurting you. So how do I, and you think that, well, if I hold on to this hurt, then, you know, somehow I'll be protected. But it's damaging you. Well, then you say, okay, I know I'm supposed to forgive. I'm willing to forgive. I want to forgive, but I can't. I can say it, but I don't really experience it or feel it in my heart. Then here is what I would suggest that you do. Pray, because the example here is that we forgive others as God has forgiven us. And I believe that when we hit a wall, which we all certainly do and will at various times in our lives, that wall of inability to forgive others is a mirror of my own inability to experience the depth of God's forgiveness for me. And so I have to say, Lord, there's apparently something in my own heart that I don't understand the depth of my own sin. I don't see the wide open spaces of just how costly and deep your forgiveness is for me. So give me a new revelation of your forgiveness toward me. Heal my heart, Lord. And when you pray that way, God will show you who you really are. And when you know more deeply who you really are, the more amazed you will be at his grace and his forgiveness, and the more whole and healed you will be, so that when you finally look at others, it's like, oh, man, you know, yes, I forgive you, because I've been healed. I've been forgiven. I had no idea. And I truly believe. We can only, you know, Paul said, that which I've received, I give unto you. Well, you can't give something that you have not, first of all, received or experienced. And so look within your own heart. Is God wanting to give you a deeper revelation of his love and grace in your life? You know, it's funny. Sometimes we think that being spiritual is that I become more and more, greater and spiritually giant or something. In reality, in some ways, growing spiritually is a greater revelation of just how big a sinner that I really am. And it's like, whoa, I'm worse than I thought. And wow, God's grace is deeper than I had imagined. His mercy is far wider than I could have ever dreamed. And as I begin to experience that, now I have a greater capacity to share that same love, grace, forgiveness toward others. It just happens naturally as the outflow. So now I will say this, though. We are not, as Christians, sinless. Would you agree with that? Yeah, hopefully. We're not sinless. We're not going to be sinless until we get to heaven and we're in a new body and Satan is judged and so forth. But even though we're not sinless, we should sin less as time goes on. And it should be some growth. And that's what Paul is saying, that we should walk in love. And as walking in love, a big portion of that will be on our attitude and capacity to forgive others. Now, verse 3, Paul now gives the negative side of what it means not to walk in love. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. So here's what it means to not walk in love. Here is Paul, as Paul begins to talk about what it means not to walk in love, the first thing he mentions is fornication and uncleanness, and then covetousness and filthiness and foolish talking, coarse jesting, which is joking about, you know, sensual things, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. That is lacking in true love. Now, Paul was writing to a church that was in the midst of a Roman pagan culture, a very sensual culture, and a culture that was, beyond even where we are now, although it seems like that we are moving. We never seem to stay the same, and the direction that we are moving is more backwards than it is seemingly forward. So there are some similarities between that culture that was in ancient Ephesus under the Roman Empire and even some of the very topics and issues of concern for the world today, and they have more to do with the external aspects of sensuality than they have to do with the heart. And so, Paul, I have a translation here, and I like to read the Bible in different translations. I've got New King James, I've got King James, I've got New American Standard, the New International Version, the New Living Translation, which is not the Living Bible, it's a New Living Translation, and then there's this one called The Message. And The Message is a very interesting translation of the Bible. There are some that are like word for word from Greek or Hebrew into English, and you try to get exact as you can there. But sometimes in translating from language to language, word for word can lose something of the meaning and essence, because in every language there are idioms, ways of communicating things. For instance, you're trying to teach someone from a foreign country English, but then you want to share with them an expression that we have, like, whoa, that's off the wall. So they get their little English dictionary, off of the wall, and that doesn't mean, they don't know what that means. So that's an expression that we have, that something is kind of crazy, and so it's an idiom. Anyway, I say that because that's what The Message is. The Message takes the language, the ideas, the idiom of both Hebrew and Greek, and puts it into modern English, and it just gives you a different flavor. So I've put this into your notes here. But anyway, having done that, it's in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our lifestyle. Thanksgiving is our dialect. So I say all of that just to say that our mouths are very much, our words that we communicate, a reflection of who we really are, what our spirit really is like. And we ought then to be careful with what we say.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out how we can walk in love, displaying forgiveness and discretion in our speech. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Walking with God. It's available for just $7. Again, it's called Walking with God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.